The long Halloween is over.
Hello and welcome to the 0 Year Podcast, where you get smart or die. That is correct. I read Scott Snyder's 0 Year for the first time, preparing for the aftermath of the long Halloween and Batman Ego, aka the Batman comics that inspired the Batman film. And I just can't stop reading anything Scott Snyder does because it's so damn good. And oh my God. And going from that to this is just such a different pace. I'm so ready for the new 52 Batman, just to see what it has for me. I've already read The Court of Owls once, but I haven't done a deep dive on it. It's going to be a little bit different, probably a little bit different from what we're doing today. Some short form, but probably a little bit longer, less episodes. It won't be daily. This is just something that I took a pledge to do, like Batman took a pledge to rid Gotham City of all this filth, you know what I mean? So, with that being said, today we are talking about The Long Halloween, Chapter 12, Labor Day. Don't you know you're not supposed to wear white after Labor Day? Yeah, that's a thing, it's bad luck. And here it is, all over Harvey Dent's grizzled white face. You know what I mean? So let's just get right into the synopsis of this. This is a short, sweet, and to the point, but it's a really, really good issue. The recently disfigured Harvey Dent is in the Gotham sewers. There, he encounters Solomon Grundy. Grundy attacks the former district attorney, chanting, "Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday." Dent recites the rest of the rhyme. This placates Grundy. Harvey wonders if Grundy has in fact died and risen from the dead. He wonders if a man can live two lives. Batman and Jim meet on the rooftop of the police headquarters. Inside Harvey's briefcase, they found one of the holiday pistols as well as Falcone's ledger, which would have allowed him to find all of the victims. Gordon accuses Batman of hiding suspicions of Dent. But the Batman refuses to believe that the man who made plans to bring down the Roman is the killer. The two exchange heated words before Gordon tells Batman to locate Dent and leaves the roof. Batman arrives at the bedroom window of Carmine Falcone. He asks the mobster for a location of Harvey Dent. The Roman becomes enraged. He denies any knowledge of Dent's whereabouts and suggests that Batman and the police have let Holiday continue killing for as long as they have because it was his people that were being murdered. He says that his people are calling this year the Long Halloween. Was that good? The Long Halloween. I don't know, whatever. He gets in the Cape Crusader's face and is thrown across the bedroom for it. Sophia immediately barges in with a gun. Batman is already gone, and Carmine pretends he was never there. Across the street, Batman finds Catwoman spying on him and Falcone yet again. He confronts her and asks why she's been doing so. She gives several playful answers and then flees into the night. Gilda Dent, apparently hearing something in her basement, descends the stairs looking for Harvey. Instead, she finds Batman. Batman asks for Harvey's location, and he tells her about the gun they found in his briefcase. She repeats Dent's story about it being from evidence from the office. Batman informs her that gunmetal was found on the grooves of Harry's vice. Gilda implores Batman to find her husband. Batman once again questions the calendar man, Julian Day, and he begins skirting the issue of Holiday's identity once again. When will Batman learn? Batman informs him that they know that Dent was the killer. Day states that he's angry for being forgotten, reminds the Batman that it is Labor Day for a few more hours, and that they have something the Holiday wants. Jim Gordon and the heavily armored police officer arrive at Maroni's cell to move him. As they move the criminal through the dark basement hallway, he brags about how he took 3 bullets to the chest in the courtroom and is now fine. Gordon mentions that he almost feels like handing the criminal over to Dent. Maroni says he welcomes an attempt by Dent on his life. He took 2 shots to the top of the mobster's head. Gordon drops to see if Maroni is still alive. The armored officer leaps at the shadowy figure of the Holiday and takes at least 4 bullets to the chest. Gordon grabs his flashlight and shines it at the holiday to reveal the man standing over him is none other than presumed dead Alberto Falcone. So we can see here that there's a lot of shit happening, a lot of good shit. And it opens up with, what are you? Almost as if Harvey Dent, a.k.a. Two-Face, the man of two minds, is talking to himself. But no, he's talking to the unalive, undead man that is Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday. Which is partially alive, partially dead. It's almost, it's this paradox, right? Harvey Dent being a man of two lives. Batman being a man of who he is, Gordon a double life. At the beginning of this entire run, I talked about the mundane and how the mundane was flipped on its head once these caricatures got out. And now the double lives these men lead, the mundane lives these men were leading, have now turned into not a joke. I don't want to say a joke, but an extreme set of circumstances that have made this long Halloween, ironically, you know, a Halloween. You know, they look like people. How do I explain this? It's almost as if the long Halloween's been going on for so long that these individuals are just known as these individuals, right? Like, I could see people dressing up as Commissioner Gordon or the Batman or now Harvey Two-Face, like. I feel like they, living the double lives as they have, they've kind of devolved in a way into this like weird meshing of society in which they're really not that special anymore. You know, they're not out. They might be outstanding citizens, but the imagery of them isn't outstanding. Like it's a new normalcy. It's almost this complacency with how things have like shaped up in Gotham, and. The mundane has become a new type of mundane, which is distrust, which is like, you know, these fantastical murders happening and nobody knowing what to do about it. And of course, Batman ignoring all intuition just for the slight chance that Gotham's soul might still be in reach, which is absolutely insane to me considering the circumstances. I mean, at the time of this chapter, it's like 12 people have died, you know? I mean, a lot more people have died, but the holidays killed about 12 people. So, like, Batman's still holding on to this weird fantasy of, like, a better tomorrow, of a better man, you know? The fact that there might be choice in the matter, and him ignoring his intuition as Batman is just the weirdest thing. But then again, he's still early in his career, you know what I mean? This is a guy who refused to trust the police and damn sure didn't trust Jim Gordon in year one, so I don't know. The following page is when Batman confronts Carmine Falcone. He says, "You stand there and act like your hands are clean," with his finger pointed at Batman, and Batman grabs his hands. It's almost as if the artist is acknowledging that both of them have dirty hands in the matter, that it's not just one person at fault, it's literally everybody at fault. Batman's short-sightedness, his inability to be who Gotham needs him to be in this moment, and Carmine Falcone's fault for being as desperate as he was, you know. And it's you know, even as desperate as he was when he's thrown in, and Sofia Gigante walks in, she's like, "What was it?" And he's like, "Oh, it was nothing. I stumbled." And so he still, even to this day, he has this code of honor. And out of everybody in this entire run so far, he's the one who's been the most consistent through it all. He still hasn't, you know, given up his honor. He still hasn't given up his code. Everybody else is scrambling in the night for theirs, but he's sitting there in a cot, his little penthouse, perfectly fine with all of this. Of course, more allusions to Catwoman being Falcone's daughter. Nice. Gilda Dent's face, too. Like, this entire run, it's looked like she's wanted to cry, and now we finally get to see her cry. And, again, intimate. And the panel of her eye, the next page, literally right across from it, is the eyes of the calendar man. So, again, there's these immensely personal images of these individuals and the juxtaposition between those who are seemingly innocent or have, you know, not shitty goals or like shitty aptitudes. Like, they're genuinely trying to help. And individuals who are just criminally insane, like the Calendar Man, you could see in their eyes kind of the difference between them. And then, of course, this the shot of Maroney being shot in the head and his head snapping back, and Jesus, like, man, they're showing this. It's insane. You know, I say this is bad, and then I just, you know, reading some of the Scott Snyder stuff, and man, that shit, that shit will mess you up. Of course, the big security guard or cop gets shot, and look, it's Alberto Falcone. And that's pretty much the chapter. It's pretty short. Like, there's some things in it that I really love. It actually turns over the plot. Like, the insane thing about it is, right, there is a sequel called The Dark Victory. And this run is not necessarily concerned with giving us closure. You know what I mean? Like, it's content with allowing things to happen, and now that's just the way things are now. You know, you've changed things forever. There's no going back. That's kind of what this is like. And this is just one footstep into that vicinity. And the next chapter, chapter 13, Punishment, is punishment for everything that's happened in the past year. It's punishment for all those who had the ability to do something and just stood by. And it's punishment for all of Gotham, inadvertent or advertent. Like, you know, after this chapter, everything changes. And I really, really like chapter 12. Chapter 12 is just phenomenal. I more so just love the imagery. Like, there's an image where when Batman and Gordon are talking, Batman walks away and Gordon's standing in Batman's long-reaching shadow. Or Carmine Falcone again saying, "You think your hands are clean," and Batman grabbing his hand. Like, I mean, just little things like that move the plot along so much for me. And so much is said through the artwork. It's absolutely fantastic. So, like I said, the next chapter, which is tomorrow, which is the last chapter of the Long Halloween, is called Chapter 13, Punishment. And it's Alberto Falcone holding a baby bottle, a nipple with his .22, saying, "I am Holiday." So we have two holidays, I suppose. Right? So with that being said, you can follow me at the Zero Year Podcast, or you can follow my personal at Steelbook Daddy. We are doing Scott Snyder's New 52 Batman run after we do this. After we do all this, I might take a small little break, a week or so, 2 weeks or so, whichever it is, so I can kind of get my schedule together and everything, because like I've mentioned, we're doing some long form stuff. I have Batman and Robin written down, but I need to schedule it with my good friend on Twitter. And we have Batman Ego. So, like I said, with the New 52, I want to do Scott Snyder stuff, but I also want to do Tomasi's Batman and Robin. You know, I want to do Batgirl. I want to do Nightwing. I want to do Red Hood and the Outlaws. I want to do pretty much anything Bat family specific, because it's the New 52 and it's such a great starting off point. Though, I mean, we could have the discussion of whether it's good or not. Like, I haven't read most of it, pretty much all of it, any of it. So, like, I can't sit here and say that it's good or not if I haven't read it. So, join me on Twitter over there and chat to me about some Batman. All day long, I've been tweeting out some Scott Snyder love, because his zero-year run, the origin story, is pretty akin to year one, just told differently. And I think that it tops year one in a lot of interesting aspects. So, stay out of the shadows.